What is God's formula for success? How do you guarantee a good outcome every time? Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland shares two key elements that will produce the blessing of God in your life. Now here's Kenneth.
Let's look tonight at the ministry of Jesus. It's always refreshing. It's always enlightening to watch from the Word Jesus living and doing the things that we're talking about. Watch Him make choices. See how He conducted His life. Because I'm telling you now, it's startling when we realize it, but nonetheless, it is true. It is more true than even you can imagine that Jesus emptied Himself of His divine privileges and came as a man doing those things that men were created to do in the earth as a pattern for all men for all time. And He did not do anything. He didn't receive anything from God because He was sinless. He didn't receive anything from God because He was the Son of God. No, He walked and lived by faith. Faith was His connection. And the anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes, it was the anointing that was doing the miraculous and so forth. And that anointing is part of the blessing. The blessing is the key to everything in the Bible. God created man, male and female created He them, and said, "Man, be in our likeness, have dominion over the earth and subdue it." And then He blessed them. That's big. That blessing is the very same power with which He created all of the material universe. And He blessed them saying, "Be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over the earth. Everything that flies, swims, and crawls." That was His job, to bless. Now that was the final work. The creation of man was not the final work. The blessing of man was the final work. And then He rested. He didn't rest because He's tired. He rested because He's finished. But when man blew that blessing off and Satan got hold of it, and when he got hold of it, it twisted 180 degrees and became the curse. God was no longer retired. He came immediately out of retirement, went back to work, moving and arranging to get His Word back in the earth. And He continued to do that. And He did it, and He did it, and He did it until the perfect picture of the perfect man was once again in the earth, embodied in the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And His name is Jesus. Unattached to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And His attachment to the kingdom of darkness was a surrender and sacrifice so that we could be set free from it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And for us to say, "Oh, we could never be like that," not only is it a lie, it's an insult to the blood. Well, you see, there could never be another one like Jesus. Well, and what was the use of him going to the cross? There ain't never going to be another one like him. That's why he went. So there could be many sons come to glory and in the eyes of God be just like him. Hallelujah. That's the way he sees you. Because he is well able to handle your faults and shortcomings. Praise God. Amen. If you'd quit trying to handle them and turn them over to him, you'd be a whole lot better off. Because you ain't qualified. You understand? But in him, you're qualified to walk as Jesus walked, talk as he talked, and expect the same anointing. Hallelujah. Now then, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 11. And let's look at the 11th verse. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Now, wait a minute. He spent all day there. And it's almost like they didn't even know he was there. Amen? I don't think they did. Now, you know good and well they were acting just as ugly on that day as they're going to be acting the next day when he got there. But why didn't he do something? Why didn't he tear the place up, turn their tables over that day instead of waiting until tomorrow? Why didn't he say something? He didn't hear his father say anything, so he didn't say anything. He didn't see his father do anything, so he didn't do anything. And this is the first step of faith. The doing and the saying is not the first step of faith. The first step of faith is the observation in the presence of God and waiting until you hear from heaven. Wisdom is the principal thing, not a principal thing. Scripture said it is the principal thing. And we've got a long track record of just knee-jerking one scripture right after another, screaming and hollering, going on, binding, loosing everything you can see and think of. But this is the first step. To be quiet, observe, and listen. Amen. So he leaves, spent all day there. And he goes back to Bethany. Now, what do you suppose he did all night? Duh. He did what you and I should be doing. Spend time in prayer. Amen. Listen to the Father. See what the mission is. Do you remember what God said to Abraham when he said, I want you to leave your home country. I want you to leave your kinfolks. And there's a country that I want you to go to, and I will show you. Now why did he need him to leave? Don't complicate this. He's in the wrong place. You can just get real spiritual and just blow the whole thing if you want to. And all of those are parts of it. But he's in the wrong place. I want you to move. Well, where am I going? I'll show you. Come go with me. Now, the big thing is there, I will show you. I have a place for you, and I will show you. Don't get the idea that you're going to have to go storming off on these missions by yourself. No, that's what you already been doing. Now just settle it right now that I'm placing myself in the hands of Jesus and I am choosing him, I'm choosing his word, and I'm listening, and I'm going to take the time, and I'm just hold your place there and go with the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter. You're going to learn this verse. I'm going to feed it to you until you learn it. 16th chapter of John, 13th verse. Are you there? All right. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Well, has he come?
Yes,
he has. He will. Say, he will.
He will.
He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Say, he will.
He will.
He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine, and he shall show it to you. There's not anything in there about he might. It said he will. So begin to expect that. But now, listen. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he also speak. Now, let me ask you something. Is Jesus your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Then he is responsible for your welfare and future.
Yes. Amen.
He is not an absentee Lord. God is not an absentee Father.
Right.
He's talking to you all the time.
Amen.
It's not a matter of his not speaking. It's a matter of us not hearing.
Right.
He woke me up about 4 o'clock in the morning here some months back. I just woke up right, just startled awake and just agitated. And I knew, whoa, something's going on. So I slipped out of bed and went in my study and just began to pray. Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord? And I was just being agitated. I said, Lord, you're trying to get something over to me, and I make myself available to you. I open my heart for you to judge. And what is it? When he turned me over here to this scripture that I just read, and I didn't hear this. It didn't come as the word of the Lord. It came as a knowing. I turned over there to that scripture, 16th chapter of John, and I saw that there. He'll guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He came. He is hearing, he is guiding, he is speaking. He doesn't have a hearing problem. I'm the one with the hearing problem. And I caught it. The Lord had been trying to say some things to me, and I wasn't listening. And he finally had to startle me awake. I didn't realize that I was just going on, you know, and busy and all that. I didn't realize that there was something here I was missing. But I have a working agreement with the Lord. And so I went in there and I said, Lord, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a hearing problem. I'm the one with a hearing problem. And I open my ears right now. I flush my ears out. I have ears to hear. I flipped over there to scripture where in the book of Matthew where Jesus said, your ears are blessed and your eyes are blessed. And I said, my ears are blessed to hear and my eyes are blessed to see. And I hear, I say, I see, I do.
Amen.
Now, I said, I repent for not hearing you. And if I have aught against any, I repent right now. I cleanse my spirit. I receive my cleansing. You're just and righteous to forgive me and to cleanse me. That quick, he began to talk to me. And I heard the things that he was saying. And there was some shift in direction that was going on, but most of it had to do with our nation and the direction that it's taking and where this ministry was responsible for certain things that we were to pray to do and so forth and so on. And I mean, it started changing anything. I mean, everything. And then God started talking to me that very morning about the President of the United States. And he began to talk to me about the situation that the political things that are happening all over the world. Well, see, I'm not political minded. And so I wasn't hearing these things. And he had to arrest me and sit me down in there to be able to talk to me about it, because there was certain prayer regimen that he wanted done here. And there were some things that he needed to say to us that had to do with the direction that the leadership of the nation was taking, and some things that were going on and so forth. Well, it changed my whole outlook and changed a lot of this ministry where those things are concerned. And now there's a lot of things going on politically that just look disastrous from, you know, from your and my point of view. Because you'd think anybody, you think anybody in his right mind would have better sense than to do some of the things that those people are doing. But you don't understand the kind of spiritual forces they're up against. You can be a natural man, but still be an honest man and a good man and get elected to office, go to Washington, D.C. and turn into an absolute jerk overnight. Because listen, there are some demons up there that the rest of the world don't know nothing about. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the high-ranking evil spirits that are there trying to drive this thing in Satan's direction. Well, I got news for them. You can send their saddle home. But I needed to know some of those things. And now I have certain understandings about it. I see certain things happening. And I've had Gloria say to me any number of times since then, she said, I am so glad we heard those things from the Lord, because she said, knowing what we know now, what we're seeing in this situation or whatever it was, it doesn't hit us so hard, because we now have information and we know what's going on behind the scenes in the realm of the Spirit. Makes all the difference in the world. And I can tell you this, if you insist on walking in love and walking by faith, everything's going to be all right. Amen. Yeah. Now, so what did he do? He just went back to Bethany and had supper and went to bed. Isn't that good? I doubt if he slept much. He's just resting in the Father to see what the Father says and to see what the Father does. So the next day, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. He came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered that tree. So the tree must have said something. Now I want you to notice, the fig tree was afar off. Well, how far is afar? Well, I don't know. It was afar off, and he came to it. It must have been off of the road a ways. Well, his staff members are still standing there on the pathway or the roadway or wherever they were walking, going back to Jerusalem, between Bethany and Jerusalem. He left their company and walked over to that tree. He must have been far enough away that he couldn't see from there that it didn't have any figs on it. So we know it's at least that far. And he walked over there and he answered the tree. The tree said, you're not getting anything here today. Now, I don't know what else the tree and the devil and everybody else around there said, but he answered the whole deal. Now, listen to what he did. I want you to watch him now. He's got a mission. He's on that mission. He knows where he's going. He spent the night listening to the Father. He spent the night in his spirit receiving the plan of God, the will of God, to know exactly what the mission is, and he's headed to Jerusalem. Now he walks over to there to that tree. Now I want you to notice, he spoke the desired end results. Now, here's where faith comes in when you choose life, when you choose blessing, when you choose the Word of God. Faith comes in when you expect that choice to pay off in blessing. Every prayer you pray should be answered in full.
Amen.
Not ever while carrying on that you do. I said every prayer you pray. Every one of them. And it will be if you follow Jesus' pattern. But if you're praying about something and you don't know the plan, the faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have any strong faith about something and you're still wondering whether it's God's will or not. And you hear religious ideas or something, it's not God's will to heal you at this time. It's very difficult for you to have any faith. In fact, you can't. Why? Your house is divided and it's going to fall. But when you go to God's Word and you choose His Word, and His Word is His will, He doesn't will one thing and say another. And His Word is His will for all men for all time. There is no special incident where the Word doesn't work. In this special case, you ain't that special. I don't want to be that special to you. No, no, that's foolishness. Amen. So, He walks over there to that tree, and I want you to notice what He did. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words. And His disciples heard it. 9 words. That's all He said. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. Now notice, and they come to Jerusalem. So He said that to that tree, and His disciples heard it. So He wasn't whispering mealy mouth around at that tree. He spoke 9 words to it. Turned around. Now the moment He turned around to go back where they were and go on to Jerusalem, that tree is history. It's behind Him. He's made the first step of faith.
When God said, "Let there be light," at 186,000 miles a second, the universe was born. The creative power released in those words lives inside you right now. The first thing God did after He created human life was to give mankind the blessing. You cannot earn it, buy it, or demand it. The blessing is the very creative force of God that is given to every believer, setting them up to thrive. Kenneth Copeland's latest book, The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and Adds No Sorrow to It, is the result of over 40 years of study, practice, and down-to-earth insights on the blessing. Filled with real-world examples that transformed Kenneth from debt and doubt to a lifestyle of health, wealth, and peace. Living less than blessed, knowing there's more to life than what you see? Failure is not an option, and success is guaranteed when you unlock God's blessing in your life. Make the change. Start today. Order The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow with It, the newest book by Kenneth Copeland. Go to kcm.org and purchase your copy today for only $19.99 and save 20%. Discover the keys to living every day completely blessed, the keys that changed Kenneth Copeland's life forever. Go online or call our toll-free number and order The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow with It today. God has empowered you to succeed. It's time for you to live blessed.
Now, I know this message has blessed you today. And my grandfather, Brother Copeland, shared with us how to begin to walk these steps of faith. And that first step is always to be quiet. You watch and you listen to the life of Jesus. He was quiet before He said anything, always listening, always watching His Father. And when you understand this, when you and I get a hold of this, it will help us in every decision that we make. Why? Because wisdom is the principal thing. And when you go to the source of wisdom, God is your source, and you find out that He desires to guide you. He didn't build you to go stumbling around and trying to figure this thing out on your own. He wants to guide you into all truth. He wants to show you things to come. Man, God is for you and not against you. And you begin to get quiet and you listen. And the first choice that you've got to make to get over onto this blessing side of life is making Jesus the Lord and the Savior of your life. And if you've never done that, today's your day. If you've never done that, then you make this first and foremost choice to choose Him. Listen, Jesus did the hard part. All you have to do is simply receive what He did for you. And if you've never done it, I want you to stop what you're doing and pray with me right now. Just say simply this. Say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Say, I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now, Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, listen, if you prayed that very simple prayer with me, you made that choice, then I want you to know something. Jesus is your Lord. He is your Savior, and we welcome you to the family of God. And we want to hear. We want to know. At Kenneth Copeland Ministries, we want to find out. If you prayed that prayer, you call us, you write us, whatever you've got to do, you let us know, because we want to rejoice with you the way all of heaven rejoices with you. And we have something free for you. This is a little book called He Did It All For You by my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And along with that, we're going to send you this small brochure called How to Study Your Bible. Request yours today. Let us get this to you absolutely free of charge. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to make sure you stay tuned into these broadcasts. My grandfather's has some excellent things coming your way about living life in the faith lane. Don't miss that. That's coming up on this broadcast. Thank you so much. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you've made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the blessing is at work in your life right now. Be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. Live at East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, September 16th and 17th at the Meadowlands Exposition Center in Secaucus, New Jersey. Join Terry Copeland Pearsons for her Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference with guest Patsy Caminetti, September 28th through 30th. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, and Chaplain A.L. Downing, October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org.